All right. Thank you, Sister Leah. You know, a song was saying, "I'll testify, that's my God." We can do that right now, and we take it for granted. You may be surprised how close the day may be when you can't do that legally. That's true, folks. I wonder, though, sometime, if we might would testify more if it was illegal. Well, that's not the sermon, but it's a thought. Book of Judges this morning, Judges chapter 3. Talk to you a little bit on the subject this morning, sending a deliverer. A deliverer. We use the word, I was delivered from this, that, or the other. We talk about deliverance. And sending a deliverer. We just had the hurricane miss us and going up and hurt some other folks and flood out North Carolina and so forth. But you've heard the story about the fellow, and I guess it was a hurricane. The flood had come, and he was sitting on his rooftop, and the water was rising. And he was praying, "Lord, deliver me, deliver me." And a boat come by, and they said, "Get on board." And he said, "No, I've already asked the Lord to deliver me." Helicopter came down real close. They hollered, "Catch the rope." He said, "It's okay. I've already asked the Lord to deliver me." But the water got on up, and he drowned. He stood before the Lord, and he said, "Lord, I asked you to deliver me. What happened?" The Lord said, "I sent a boat by, and you said no. I sent a helicopter by, and you said no. There's nothing else I could do for you." I think about how many folks turn down deliverance today. Don't recognize the Lord in it. Amen? Judges chapter 3. I wish I could get the whole story to you, but I'll try to tell it instead of read it all for time's sake. But beginning about verse 12 with me in the book of Judges. Now, you know, you understand the book of Judges, what it is. Moses was used of God to bring the people out of Egypt. Remember the story? And remember how they come into the Canaan land under Joshua after God had beard Moses on the mount. And Joshua took them through the battles, and they took the inheritance of the land. And then Joshua, as it were on his deathbed, testified to all the elders of Israel how they needed to stay true to God. And they did until the old folks began to die off. And then they went after other gods. And as you go through the book of Judges, you find the nation of Israel as God's people in the Old Testament. And you find them in the Old Testament, you find them going up and down with God. They go up, repent, get right with God, and then they fall again, go after other gods. And God would raise men that we call, and the book of Judges called them judges here, to deliver them again. They'd go down to the valley, and they'd finally, under the pressure, repent and cry, and God would pick them up again. And he'd use men to be the deliverers. And we'll read about one here, and I'll maybe mention another one or two in the book of Judges, beginning in verse 12. Says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees," that'd be Jericho. Verse 14, "So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit's length," that's about 16 inches, "and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man." I didn't write it. "And when he had made an end of to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries," and that's the place they had the idols, "that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. and all that stood by him went out from him. It's a secret, so the king sent out those that could overhear. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the heft went also in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. I'm going to stop there to say, but when the servants came back, the doors was locked, and they thought the king was taking a nap. So they didn't do anything, and that gave Ehud time to, as it were, slip out the back door and run and get away. And when he got back, he'd killed the king now, Moab, and he called all the Israelites together to go out and fight, and they had a great victory over the Moabites. God used old Ehud here as a deliverer after Israel began to cry out to God after serving this evil king for 18 years. They finally repent, call to the true God, and God raises up a deliverer. Now, later you find out they'd go down again, they'd get in bondage again, they'd cry out again, and God would send them another deliverer. One of those deliverers was a fellow you'll recognize by the name of Samson. Now, Samson was an unusual fellow. Everybody was afraid of Samson. They didn't know what he was going to do next. He was kind of unusual. His mouth got him in trouble. He had a big mouth, apparently, a little bit braggadocious. And he created a riddle. Remember the riddle? And they couldn't figure out the riddle, but a woman that he was married to betrayed him. Remember? He had woman trouble. Now, let's look at him a minute here. He was scared of people. He had a mouth that got him in trouble. He had woman trouble. And his hair was talked about quite a bit. Sort of unusual. But don't miss the next part. But God used him. But God used him. Amen? Used him big. All the enemies tricked him. They piled on. They'd done everything they could possibly do. And they finally did use a woman to get him and bring him down by the name of Delilah. And he got the most expensive haircut that was ever given. And he wound up in slavery with his eyes punched out, grinding at the mill. But he got right with God, and God used him again. And in his death, when he brought the temple down, he killed more enemies in his death than he was able to do in his life, and he became a deliverer for Israel. God used him. Now, I want to take these stories of Ehud and Samson and all the judges and all the ups and downs of Israel, and I want you to see the sovereignty of God in it. I want you to see his punishment upon evil, but I want you to see his mercy when his people repented and cried out to him, and how he continually sent them another deliverer. I'd like to apply that a little bit to the days that we live in, and especially in our nation today. We hear the words, this is a crucial election. Yes, it is. We're about to decide between socialism and old-fashioned Americanism. Whether any of it can be brought back or not, I'll tell you this. If we go much further down the river of socialism, we've passed the point of no return. And we'll never, ever be able to come back. Now, the question that bothers me the most is, what do we deserve? That bothers me. What did Israel deserve? They kept going after false gods. They got in trouble. They got in slavery. They got in bondage. And they'd cry out and get to the right with the true God again. And he would send them a deliverer. But I look around today and I say, what does America deserve? I hope we don't get what we deserve. You notice in the text here, evil, not just evil, it says evil did it again. Israel did evil again, did evil again, did evil again. They just kept on repeating it. Do we have any evil in America today? My soul. Weird place we're calling evil good. That's what the prophet Isaiah said we'd do. We look at our nation today and we see what Isaiah said fulfills to such a degree. Isaiah said not only would they call evil good, but in chapter 59 of Isaiah, it says, he that departeth from evil will make his own soul a prey. He'll be attacked, not because he did evil, but because he withheld from evil, because he departed from evil. So what are you talking about? Well, look at Judge Moore out in Alabama. Judge Roy Moore. What are they taking his, trying to take his judge seat away for? Because he's against gay marriage. So what's he doing? He's departing from evil, making his own soul a prey. And I could tell you story after story, and you ought to know it. It's in the news today. How about North Carolina standing against perversion? And so all, even the sports world, forsook them. All they wanted to do was keep the restroom safe for the little girls. Isn't it amazing? So they depart from evil, and so they become a target and a proverb. And we've got all the piling on of the politically correct crowd in the nation today, and they're accused of discrimination. You're supposed to discriminate against evil. And that's exactly what they did. Evil in America? Oh, yeah. Abortions, the innocent blood curse that's in the Bible, put on us for killing the babies. Here in Florida, we're about to vote in the dope, looks like. Marijuana is dope. It does open the door to greater. And they already got plans, and maybe you saw this in the news, where they're going to mix the marijuana into candy for kids. Yeah. So, well, why would they do that? For the same reason when I was a kid, they made candy cigarettes. Do you remember that? I mean, we saw Dad and Big Brother smoke. We couldn't smoke, but we'd go to the store and buy some candy cigarettes and pretend we were. You hook the young generation any way you can, you bring them up, and then they're hooked on it. And so that's why they would mix marijuana with the candy. And it's going to be legal to do that sort of stuff. But see, again, we're calling evil good when God calls it evil. And we see it where we look today. Result is this place that we look around today and see the false gods coming in the debate. Hillary said that Trump was trying to ban a religion. Now, that's code words for being against the Muslims that's wanting to cut our heads off. Listen, call it a religion if you want to, but it is a philosophy that's destroying America. And yet we want to let the kids in school think it's just equal with Christianity. The sad truth is today, if you got a philosophy that's blowing you up and cutting your heads off, you ought to be banded. It's ridiculous. Say, well, we got religious freedom. There's a whole lot of difference in that freedom of religion and bringing in the serpent that's going to strike you in the chest and hugging up to it. There's a whole lot of difference there, my friends. But you know, we look around today and see that false gods now in America have equal ground, if not superior ground, to the true God. And we're going to go to the same result that Israel had. When they went after the false God, God let them go into bondage. God's no respecter of persons. America doesn't have what we used to call dibs. I know I have to explain that scientific term. But dibs when we're playing marbles. You might remember that. Oh, come on. I don't have time for that. I just say an edge. What I'm trying to say here is that America has no special place with God when we turn our back on God. And that's what it amounts to. We'll go into bondage. Disarm them? Yeah. This election better not only hide your guns, the Second Amendment is under attack. And you well may have the knock on your door to confiscate your guns following shortly after this election. Some of you don't believe that, but listen to me. It's already been stated. The philosophy behind the liberals that are trying to take over, they blame the gun. The gun is evil. The gun is by itself, got legs, walking out there and shooting. It's the craziest thing. And so what it's boiled down to now is this very sad case here that we're going to fall for the same thing the crowd fell for when Hitler made his rules. March 18th, 1938, in Germany, Hitler was able to pass a law to come take up the guns. Started taking them up first with the Jews, then the average citizen. In fact, I read a story, broke my heart. A policeman in Germany, a Jewish policeman, had a job on the police force. Come from a Jewish family. And so when the order came out from Hitler to take up the guns, they had to go around taking up the guns. And his own dad, that policeman's dad, had hit a gun. And the boy that was a policeman knew dad had a gun and he hit it. So he had to go to his dad's house and tell his dad, get the gun and turn it in. Now here's the rest of the story. After the Jews lost their guns, after the citizens lost their guns, then Hitler took up the policeman's guns. And that very boy had to give up his own gun. You say it couldn't happen in America, just one law away. Just a few votes away. Oh yeah. And that's exactly where we're at right now. I want to say to you, our nation is in a crisis. It isn't a crucial place. It's like Israel was. Are we going to repent and come back to God and let God send us a deliverer? Or are we going to just keep on going by osmosis and let it go right on down the river to the point of no return? I want to say this. I make an application here from this story I just read you out of Judges, not only to our nation, but to our faith. I'm talking about Christianity. I'm talking about religious freedom. We are now violated Christianity by political correctness to an unbelievable amount. Right now, in America, we have got groups that are fighting, and they will, and it'll happen soon, stop me from preaching like I'm preaching, stop a church from having a ministry like we have. That's just shortly around the corner, folks. Just like it happened in Germany, it will happen here. That political, did you hear on our radio station this week where the Jews were trying to celebrate one of their religious rituals? That ritual included killing a chicken and shedding the chicken's blood. Now, I don't want to get off into it. The reason they have to kill the chicken is they have no Passover lamb. Because they missed the real Passover lamb, who was Jesus. I understand all that. But they've had this ritual for so long around the Day of Atonement of shedding the chicken's blood. Did you see out in California where the poultry animal lover group went to the judge and got a ban on the Jews killing the chicken? That was on our radio this week. It is so silly. I think about Dr. Jack Hiles, Scotty. They were having one of his buses around Easter time. I don't know why the bus driver did this, but they're hard to understand sometimes anyway. But anyway, bus driver got what I call little bitties, just fresh hacked chicks. It was around Easter and you could buy them, and he went and got a little chick for every rider on his bus. He was having a promotion, so he gave them a little chick if they came. And the animal-loving, stupid crowd, tree-hugging bunch, found out about it, brought charges about it, and the preacher, Brother Hiles, had to go to court before the judge. And like me, he thought it must be a joke. So he goes before the judge, and the judge said, did you pass out baby chickens on a bus? Dr. Hiles said, yes, and I done worse than that. I ate their mother for lunch. Now, here's what he told me. He said, the judge didn't laugh. Said he about put me in jail over that because this animal-loving group had filed charges. Can you believe that stuff? Well, that's where we're at, folks. And that was a few years back. Now the Jews have got trouble offering a chicken in their ceremony. That's crazy. That's it. But that political correctness. However, we can't let God in the schools. I saw this week where some Christian kids in a school, they were decorating a float for whatever parade they were having, and various floats had different slogans on them, and some of the floats had something about their favorite ball player or their favorite hero or whatever it was. So these Christian kids put a sign on their float that said, "My hero walks on water." And did they ever get in trouble? They got called before the board about that. See, you're supposed to have separation of government and God. Bunch of junk. But religious freedom? Brother Bob gave me information on his brother Don over there in Russia this week, and he's right in the middle of the court thing where the media is coming in and lying against him just like they do in America. You see, what we got today in the liberal media, that's the majority of them, that's over 80% of them, what we got today is they're trying to direct the country on a bunch of lies, and they know there are a lot of lies, but they don't matter. They're trying to set the trend. They don't believe in God. They don't want God. They don't know Bible. They don't know truth. They just want to move America right on down the socialist extreme, and that's what they're doing. That's what's happening in Russia right now, our brother Don's case over there. Yellow journalism is what we used to call it, and that's what the practice over there. But we're supposed to have a constitution, see? We're supposed to have freedom of religion. We're supposed to have equal rights is what we're supposed to have. But the sad truth is we're losing that freedom, losing our religious freedom. And if you lose your religious freedom, you're losing all your freedom before it's over with, is what it amounts to. I picked this up off of one of the piles on my desk, and I've seen it many times, probably read it before. This is a quote from President Ronald Reagan. Listen to it. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. He is dead right. That is a real quote that ought to be put in the newspapers and on the news, because that's what's happening. Freedom being lost, leaving us. Now we're seeing the rule of law destroyed. Who in the world would have... I mean, the IRS coming after the conservative groups and then taking the Fifth Amendment to not admit it. Then the FBI, of all groups we ever thought we'd see compromised. They say the morale in the FBI now is really low because all of a sudden they know it's been compromised. Rule of law been lost. And that's too bad. It really, really is. Globalization, and you hear that mentioned now, and with all the negatives you can mention on Trump, one good thing, he's put that in the limelight. And like Samson, they're afraid of him because he's about to stick Ehud's dagger into globalization. And that's why all the different establishment has joined together, because they're scared to death of it. Globalization is a threat, folks, that takes away your freedom. Freedom of religion, freedom of mobility, freedom of speech. You just go out on down the line. It all goes down the tubes when it goes. Oh, look, we're in a time now to where we don't even trust what's fixing to happen in the votes now. was over at up at Dick Lamford's funeral in Pensacola the other day, and the preacher got up and kind of joked. He said, "Well, Dick won't have to vote now. He won't have to decide who to vote for." And I thought in my heart, he can go to Chicago and vote. There's more, the dead in Chicago are more faithful to vote than the living. And in a whole lot of other places. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. I'm not kidding you a bit. Say, so, well, we'll vote. You know what Stalin said about the vote? You know who Stalin was? Remember the communist dictator? You know what Stalin said? Stalin said, the vote don't count. It's who counts the votes. He'd gotten that one right. And that's what we're fixing to see again. I know I'm on the radio. Help yourself out there. Listen, I want to say to you this story here. God sent a deliverer. He's a pretty crude fella. He wasn't the best Sunday school member. He would not maybe have been the best neighbor, because he made him a dagger and hid it on his right thigh and grabbed it with his left hand, and he stuck the fat boy in the stomach and the dirt come out. He wouldn't sound like the kind of guy you might trust too much, but God used him for a deliverer. He certainly did. And God can send a deliverer again. So you believe that preacher? Yes, I do. He could be a hard man. He could be like Ehud. He could be like Samson. Maybe so. Some of the dirt needs to come out. And some of the dirt that's coming out today, some of the sneaky ways it's being done, but yet we're finding out there's a credibility gap in the good old USA. And the good, hard-working, tax-paying, decent man in America, family in America, is being discriminated against. They're not marching in the streets, but they're the ones that are being hurt the worst. But God could send a deliverer again. I mean, he could. He sent Israel a final one. You know what his name was? It was Jesus. You know what Israel did? Up and down, fall into sin, hurt and pain, get right with God. God deliver them, in a little while fall again, up and down, and finally the day come, God sent a deliverer. You know what they said? Reject him. Away with him. We won't have this man reign over us. And they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, their final deliverer that was sent to them. The one that had been predicted, the one that had been written about, the one that had been preached about by the prophets. And yet the Bible says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the nation of Israel said, away with him, crucify him. That's what they said. But I got news for you. He's not through. He's coming back. Let me read to you out of Romans chapter 11. Don't take time to turn there, but write it down, Romans 11. Let me pick it up with you in about verse 26. Paul is talking. He's talking about what's going to happen in the end days. He's talking about how blindness has come to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Then he says in verse 26, and he's quoting from Isaiah 59, and he says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer," capital D in your King James, "the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob," from Israel. "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." I got news for you. Jesus is coming back. He will be the final deliverer. We know him not as just our deliverer. He'll be the deliverer of Israel when their back is against the wall and the nations are trying to push them into the Mediterranean Sea and all that we've been teaching you about in prophecy. He will come back as their deliverer. But before that, he's coming back as my Savior. Because I know him as Lord and Savior. Do you? My Redeemer. The one that shed his blood for my sins on the cross. The one that paid a ransom I couldn't pay. The one that finished it, as the ladies were singing. That's who I'm talking about. He's the deliverer that's going to come out of Zion. He's the one that's going to take care of Israel among the nations. But he's right now offering to be your deliverer. He'll let you swap places with him. He'll take the penalty of your sin and through his grace give you forgiveness and eternal life and have your name written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you even from this present world's chains and bondage. Some of you listening to me in radio or here in this room, you're under the bondage of sin. You would not want to admit it, but you've been fighting it and you can't get free of it. Maybe it's dope. Maybe it's something else. And you've tried and you've tried and you don't like yourself. You look in the mirror and say, oh, I'd like to quit this, and I've tried this and I've tried that. Let me tell you something, really, genuinely, turn it over to Jesus and he'll deliver you from it. Amen. He'll deliver you from it. He's the deliverer that can do it. And he will do it. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All. Boy, what a big word. All sin. When you receive Christ, you get forgiveness of sins past, sins present, sins future, as though you never committed them. He wipes the slate clean before God. Oh, what a wonderful truth it is. He wants to be your deliverer. But like the joke I told earlier, you can let the boat pass by. You can let the helicopter fly on. You can say no. You can. I hope you won't. I really hope you won't. I know in some of the news, Mount St. Helens, there was a guy by the name of Harry Truman, like the president's name. He stayed in his cabin with everybody trying to tell him the volcano's going to blow again. But he wouldn't be delivered. He let it blow, and he's never been seen since. Even in the most recent hurricane in North Carolina, there's some folks that stayed and died. But they had the chance to be delivered, but they let it pass by. And in this room, week after week after week, there's some folks that could be delivered. But they won't accept the deliverer, the Lord Jesus, as Savior. And one day it'll be the last offer that'll come their way. And it'll be too late. Yes, God does deliver when we repent and turn to him. Just like he did Israel, he will for you. If you'll leave that seat and come forward and receive Christ as your Savior, he'll deliver you from the bondage of sin. No matter what grip it's got on you, Jesus and Jesus only can set you free, can break it. Would you let him do it this morning? Would you let him write your name in heaven and stand before God for you and take your place? Be accepted of the Father in your place. That's what he does as he pays for your sin. Will you let him do it? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, thank God I know my deliverer. I know he lives. I know who he is. He's my Savior. Can you say that by the uplifted hand? All over the building, so many of you, so many of you. Thank you, thank you. Are you here today and you say, preacher, when you pray, have me in mind. I've let the boat pass by too many times. I've heard the message too many times and never stepped out and received Christ, never been saved. And preacher, I'm still in bondage to some things I can't whip by myself. Preacher, would you have me in mind when you pray, I need to be saved. I need to come to Jesus. I need to be set free. Would you say that by the uplifted hand this morning? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Heads about. I'm looking. God's looking. Would you lift that hand? I care for my soul. I care about it. I don't want the deliverer to pass by the last time. Yes, thank you and you. Let's stand quietly. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, I pray that not one would say no to the Lord Jesus this morning. They would let him deliver their very soul in your presence. I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray for our country that we could be delivered. We could buy some time for our kids and our grandkids. But dear God, right now souls can still be saved, just like they could 100 years ago in our country, or 50 years ago. They can right now. But Lord, the message may be soon stopped if things keep changing. I pray right now for this moment in this place that someone would